Before we get to the message, I've asked Lynette to give a short testimony of a vision that the Lord gave to her. This vision that God gave to her is going to be part of, it's not the message, but I really feel it's connected in some way. So Lynette, share that, what the Lord gave you there. Can you do that?
Thank you, Lord. Is it up, down? Oh, I thought you meant the mic. I was like, what? I didn't speak yet. That can be off. Anyway, Father God, I just yield my body and my mouth for your words to come forth of whatever you want, God. In Jesus' name. It started with, if I have to go back a little bit to give you a gist of what was going on here. On Thursday night, Prophet Bob was at a news house. And I don't know how many people here are aware, but God tore down a prostitution ring in Charlottetown about 10 years ago. And that really initiated the fire of God in my life. And when Prophet Bob spoke about the prostitution ring and how that was broken and all of these girls came to the Hope Center, the fire of God started burning in me 10 times more than it was 10 years ago, but overwhelming. It was just, as he was talking, as the service went on, I was just overwhelmed, totally overwhelmed. I couldn't even talk. So that was Thursday. So it increased. So by Saturday, I didn't come to the service Saturday night. And I've been in church in and out. And Saturday night, my children, some of the children were there, and I was so overwhelmed, Glenn couldn't figure out what to do with me, which is quite common. But anyway, he was like, Lynette, I don't know, come to the beach with me. So he took me to the beach so the children wouldn't see what a mess I was in. And I was in a mess, and it was a Holy Ghost mess, but at the same time, I was so stirred. And I went down, and where our beach is, we can sit on a little grassy place and look out over to see Charlottetown. And as I was looking over there, I was singing, I don't know how many know Tasha Cobbs. And anyway, she's a singer, and she was singing, and I'll be seated at your feet, worship at your feet. I'll be seated at your feet forever. And I'm telling you, the power of God, just, it was so awesome. And in the same, you know how God can do that to you? He shows you this cute little baby, and then all of a sudden, they're five biting you. It was the same thing. The beauty of the Lord came over me, man, and it was so, so holy. And then all of a sudden, I saw this bomb coming. And it was like a nuclear bomb. And I've seen the footage of, what is the name of it? Fukushima, is it? And that's what it looked like to me. And it was coming, and it hit. And when it hit and the smoke went up, the fear of the Lord came over me. And that worship turned to awe. And I started crying, and the weeping changed. And I'm telling you, God spoke to me so clear and said, put the blood on the door, because tonight the Spirit of the Lord is coming upon the land. And if the blood is not on the door, and I'm telling you, I didn't even know what to say, what to do, how to pray. I didn't know nothing. But I was in a mess for quite a few hours, and I pleaded the blood. And my son looks at me as I'm trying to get in the house, and he's 30, and everybody knows. Anyway, Andrew looks and he goes, Mom, what's wrong with you? And I said, and I was shaking, and I was like, if the blood don't cover the homes tonight, there's not going to be one baby left. Not one. Not one soul is going to be left if the blood don't cover it. So anyway, by midnight, I was settling down a little bit and getting ready to go to sleep. And in the morning, and God had me running all over the place all weekend. So in the morning, God woke me up and said, go to this particular church that started at 9 o'clock. And our church starts at 10 o'clock. And it didn't make sense to me why I was going to another church. So anyway, there was an expectation as soon as I got up of something is happening today. And before I went to sleep that night, I felt in the spirit, and I could hear them coming, the armies of angels coming into the land. And as they were breaking through the atmosphere, I could feel them getting closer. So when I got up, they were here. It was like, wherever this is, I want to be underneath that. But at the same time, it was like, ooh. So I got up in the morning and I went to this other service, and I was sitting there and I was going, God, why am I, like, what am I supposed to be getting, right? And I kept looking at the clock, and the Lord was ministering what he was doing, but I was still like, So 20 after 10, I looked up and God said, go to CWC. Well, I'm telling you, if the cops caught me, I wouldn't have got to the service because I flew from Charlottetown over here as fast as I could go across that bridge to get here. And when I opened the door and I entered into the door, there was a pulse of the Spirit. Whoever was here Sunday morning would know what I'm talking about. There was a pulse in the Spirit when you come in. And it was almost like one of those, you know, when the sound system is too loud, there's a boom that comes with the music. Well, that's what it was in the Spirit. And it was like, whoa, 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 it's coming, it's coming. So as the worship went on and Prophet Bob stood, I remember Prophet Bob at one time, he went like this. He said, I don't know why I'm doing this. And I knew why he was doing it. Because the armies of heaven was all around the place and he couldn't help it. But he started doing it and he was so overcome by the glory. He was like, man, I don't know why. And it was just, give it to him, God. Anyway, it was so cool. But in the midst of his preaching, as he was preaching, it got to a certain point, and I felt the bomb hit, and it was like 5 to 12. So whoever listens to the taping, if you go back, you can hear it when it went boom. And the Spirit of God took over, and he started proclaiming things and tearing things down. And at the in the midst of that glory cloud, this bomb turned into fire. And as it was coming, the expectation of the bomb, God showed me this is the fire of God that's coming. And this boom, when it hit, when it went back up, the cloud of smoke turned into tongues of fire like the day of Pentecost. And they were going out two by two all over the island. And they were just two by two. And in the spirit realm, I just felt that what we had been praying for and what we were waiting for, lots of times in the spirit, it happens before the physical manifestation comes. But after the day was over and I went home, I said to Glenn, and I still feel, and anyone that knows what this graveyard normally looks like, I would like them to look and see if any of the graves are cracked or the foundation of the church, because that's what I felt. It had to be a physical manifestation of this power when it hit. But whatever, whether it is or is not, that don't matter. But the power of God was so cool, and the intercession of God. And at this point, I think, not just for what God has called us for, each one has his own purpose and plan. But whatever God calls you to, if he says jump in the water, jump in the water. If he says go down to the food bank, go to the food. Go where he tells you, because each one of us has a different call. But that fire of God, the heart of God of what he wants to do, is for whoever is willing. Whoever is willing, and it isn't easy, and it isn't nice, but there's no other place than in that glory and for him to do that. And I just want to, in the middle of all of this, we're going to Newfoundland, so ask, you know, pray for us. In the next few weeks, we're going to be gone. But in our home, in our family, there are six children that God gave me. And out of that six, four I birthed in the flesh, and two I birthed in the spirit. But they're all mine. And I have six grandchildren, and I have a husband, and his family is in Cape Breton, and they're going through their own thing, and my family is home, and there's two or three. But God has showed me in his presence, every one of those children are covered by the blood of Christ, even when you can't see it. So when you look at one of mine, wherever they are, including my father-in-law, who's a drunk, the blood of Jesus Christ will catch him. You know why? The blood has more power than anything that can come against that. And Jesus will redeem him, and he will save him, and he will rescue him, and not just him, everyone. But my father has promised that not one will be lost. So I just want to make that declaration. And for you, rise up and claim what the Lord has given you, because he won't fail, and he won't go back on his word. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're asking God to raise up an army of those who are, as in Acts chapter 2, sons and daughters who will have dreams, visions, that as the Spirit of the Lord is poured out. You know, I want you to hear something. It says, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Right? Who's familiar with that passage that was quoted in Acts 2? Well, let me tell you, I believe that the last day of Acts chapter 2 is just the beginning of the last day, which we're in. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord is about to pour out in a greater measure in the last of the last days. Are you following what I'm getting at here? There's an outpouring. I don't know. You almost think, why would God want to retreat in the pouring out of His Spirit and the manifestation of His gifts? Why would He want to retreat on that? Why would God want to say, okay, I'm giving you all the equipping that you need as a people to extend the kingdom of God. Now I'm going to take some of it back. No, we've not followed the way of the Lord, and I think God is saying in these last days, if you're open to my Spirit, I am ready to pour out even more. I'm going to pray for you right now that the sons and daughters, if you're open to the Spirit, that God's going to give you dreams and visions, a prophetic insight. This is not a forced thing. If you want to receive Spirit of Christ in a greater measure, I believe God wants to do it in a greater measure. I'm expectant. You know, I didn't believe in a lot of this stuff for years, but when I started to believe, I just know the Lord just increased it according to my faith. How many of there's a verse in the Bible? It says, according to your faith, be it unto you. Who heard of that one? That's been for me, in my life, in all aspects of my life, that has been a scripture, including when it comes to giving of my finances. It's been a powerful scripture, according to your faith, be it unto you. And I am going to pray for you right now. If you want to receive a greater measure of the coming of Holy Spirit in these last days, let's believe God to pour it out. Amen. I'm opening up my arms to receive all that God has. Not what man has, but what God has to offer to me. So I can be better equipped to serve Him. Amen. So Lord, I'm asking, if you're open, if you're ready, put your arms up, put your hands up. I am not giving you anything. God is, and I'm asking Him. Father in heaven, we come to you. We thank you that in these last days you will pour out your Spirit, even in a greater measure. Sons and daughters will prophesy and have dreams and visions. We believe, God, for an increase. I am praying for everything that you want to deposit, an increase of your presence. I am praying for a deposit from heaven to come, even now. Increase in me, increase in this church, increase in your body. Those that will have faith to believe and receive, let it be, Lord, according even now to our faith, Lord. Fill us up. I say now, be filled. This is nothing weird. I'm just telling you, Holy Spirit's like a wind. Be filled. Be filled. You're going to say, what's weird about that? That is weird. But let me tell you, God gives you what you ask for. I am wanting the wind of the Spirit. I want the reality behind that wind, not just the blowing of my breath. I want the reality. I say now, in the name of Jesus, be filled. Be filled. In Jesus' name. I'm expecting throughout the morning. I've only got a little bit of time left to preach, but this is going to be a series. I'm going to talk on these things for the next 3 weeks. So please give me a few minutes of your time as you hear this message. So we have Isaiah chapter 6. I want to just cover a few things. This is so important. When I heard Lynette's sharing that vision yesterday, last night, I really felt it was fitting for the message today. I just knew in my spirit that we needed to hear it. Listen to the story, the Isaiah chapter 6. This passage is familiar to many of you. It says here, I'm reading the NIV, so this is the translation that we're probably going to have up in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, these angelic beings, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. They were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. With it, it touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken. Your sin is atoned for. Come on, your sin is paid for. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. It's a familiar passage. Some of you have heard it before. Some of you read it before. Probably heard many top messages on it. But I really believe there's a message today for everybody here. So I don't know where you fit in terms of your relationship with God, but I want you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I am convinced that the Spirit of God wants to speak to the church today. So I'm saying, Holy Spirit, come, do what you want to do in the hearts of every believer here. It's an interesting passage. There's some history. We can give you a little background to it, but I really want to get to the nuts and the bolts and the meat. But I'm going to basically tell you this. King Uzziah was a king that loved God and had, you know, changed the nation of Israel or Judah back into a place of worship to God. And it was, later in his life, he did become proud and arrogant, and things happened that shouldn't happen. But by and large, he was what they call a good king. How many of there were bad kings and good kings? In when you read the Bible, it's like, yeah, this was a good king. He did great things for the nation, followed God, follows his ways. And these were bad kings. But this was and most likely, some people say he was likely related to Isaiah. He could have been a second cousin. Like they were related in a relationship, but they were close as companions and friends. So this Isaiah, Isaiah is a prophet. Now, how many of you know in the Bible days, prophets needed support? I'm talking moral support, not just financial support. But so this king, if a prophet was a messenger of God who wanted the people of God to hear the word of God and to respond, wouldn't it be good to have a king on your side? Wouldn't it be great to have somebody who's political leader to say, yeah, go for it. I'm with you. And they were with each other. There was a support thing going on. And they were working together. But there's a sense in which Isaiah would have become dependent on that kind of a relationship. It was like, it was almost like when Uzziah, the king, died, Isaiah would have said, oh my, it's almost like my partner is gone. It's almost like somebody who's my support system has left. I want you to hear this message. This is important for you to hear, because there's parts of this message that will speak to you, not necessarily maybe the main theme of the message, but this is important. I really feel this for somebody here. Is it possible that you've been looking to others for a support system? Is it possible that you've been looking to your health as the support system? Is it possible that you could be looking to your financial status to be the thing that holds you up? It's interesting, because we can have all kinds of props. Life has all kinds of props. Legitimate. Listen, they're kind of legitimate things. Now, Isaiah and Uzziah had a legitimate relationship of friendship. But is it possible that a prop, that a person or a situation or circumstance in my life can be that which I have given it so much strength, so much power over my life? When that prop is removed, it's like that three-legged table. You take that one leg off, boom, all of a sudden it's gone. There's no guarantee in life of anything other than God being consistent and faithful all the time. Is that true? Now, I don't know about your life. You're here today. I really feel in my spirit that somebody needs to hear this part of the message. I don't know what's going on, particularly personally. Most of you I don't know in that way. But prophetically speaking, I really believe somebody needs to hear the message, this message. What are you leaning on? What are you trusting in? And giving it a place that God should have in your life. Oftentimes, if we're leaning too heavily on those things to be my support system, to be my companion, to be my help, to be all legitimately that it was called to be, but what happens when that thing is removed from your life? I'm going to give you a little story, a personal story. Most of you know that, maybe most of you don't know, but I do walk with a bit of a lean forward, if you see me, right? Well, if you don't know my story, in 1985, I was crushed under a forklift. When I say crushed under a forklift, I was doubled right over like that. The forklift roll bar hit me across my shoulder. I was doubled like that, and it crushed me. I was 1985. I would have been about 26 years old. Our daughter, Rachel, you see here with the little Isaiah, my grandson, was 3 weeks old. My friend Sherry, who's here today, she happened to have a baby about the same time. I was in hospital, got crushed October 1st. What day did you have your baby? Yeah. Come on, I was in there for 10 weeks, so you can still remember that, Sherry. Come on, here I... 30 days later, I'm rolling around in a wheelchair. I got to go see my friend Sherry giving birth. Come on. You know how many years ago that was? It'll be 34 years ago this October. Let me tell you something. Maybe you don't know this. I'm not boasting about this. But I was athletic. I was enjoyed sports to the, like, you couldn't, I was like, it would... Okay, if anything, it could be almost like I was, you know, I put a lot of stock in my ability to be physically strong. And all of a sudden, that leg was taken out from under me. How many heard other stories like that where physical trauma or difficulty has come upon people's lives? And my story could have ended badly, could end a lot worse. I could have been paralyzed. I have some physical challenges. I have some partial paralysis that still affect me. But basically, life changed at the moment. In the moment, Noel was crushed under a forklift. He had a choice. He could look to the Lord, or he could look to the circumstance. Do you follow me? That's the point I'm making. I'm not trying to get you thinking anything about me. I want you to think about this. I don't know what difficulty, what tragedy, what hardship you're going through right now. You have an opportunity to get your eyes on the Lord. You have an opportunity. I have an opportunity. Because God, it says in the Bible, I didn't have an understanding of it, but Sherry and Peter were really good friends of ours. We actually lived in the very same neighborhood. Actually, by the way, you know, back in those days, I lived up the street here about kilometer and a half. Sherry still lives up here. So we were, and her husband, Peter, is a good friend. Back in the day, you know, that CBC did a documentary on my journey, okay? And they put a little story together. It's CBC Compass. Actually, somebody pulled it out of the archives, listen, and showed it to us. Can you imagine me looking at myself 34 years ago? And we watched it. It was like hilarious. But there was an amazing... But the thing is, we could have looked to the circumstance, but we instead turned to the Lord. Because, and in the commentary, CBC did this story, and in the end, my last point on that was, I'm glad they kept it, was like, I said in the end, they were asking me about, you know, all kinds of questions, how do you deal with it? I just said, you know, in the end, I know this, that God's word says that God works all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And they kept it in the story, so praise God. But it's amazing. But to me, that's the key. The key is, what is it, the life and that circumstance that's going to define me, or is it God that's going to give me a sense of definition and purpose for who I am and what it's all about? This body, as much as I believe in healing, right? We pray for healing. This body is frail. And guess what? One day it's going to the ground. As much as I want people touched by God and experience healing physically, emotionally, mentally, every way, one day this shell is going to leave. Come on. There's a greater purpose. So I wasn't going to lose this sense of purpose that God had for my life. Thank God for His amazing grace. Shelly and I just had our first baby, 3 weeks old, and God given us amazing grace that now, 36 years later, being married, and our daughter's 34, that there is a strength that has come that only God can give. Let me tell you something. The Lord showed me something about this. So, oftentimes, these circumstances are like lights that distract us. Now, I'm going to say lights, but there's a light that's not good light. Think about this for a minute. When you come into a city, any city, even Charlottetown, you know the lights of the city overtake the vision of your lights from the sky. The first time you get out to the country, you look up to the sky and you see the greater lights. Right? Because the lights of the city aren't distracting you anymore. First time I saw the sky, night sky, like I've never seen before, was in the middle of dark Africa. Who's ever been to Africa or a place like that? If you're out in the bush, we were out in the bush and we're sleeping under this canvas. Actually, we slept in tents in the bush, and it was like crazy, amazing. Like, come on, this is what God paints. But if I'm in the midst of the city and the lights that distract me, I don't see the heavenly lights. Are you following what I'm getting at here? In the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. As far as I'm concerned, it's an opportunity for you and for me to see the Lord. Earlier today, I mentioned the word veil. I mentioned the word, and I quoted a scripture during worship, and I said, whenever, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. How many remember that passage? The veil is something that's in front of your eyes that's making it difficult for you to see. Whatever obstacle it is, whatever situation, it's like that's looming larger. If a blindfold's in before my eyes, that's looming larger. That's dictating what I see, which is nothing. As soon as I remove that obstacle, shoot, vision is clear. My prayer is that we would get a revelation from God that whatever it is that we're counting on, let me tell you, nothing is guaranteed in life. Physically speaking, money's not a guarantee, right? Financial security's not a guarantee. Health is not a guarantee. Relationships aren't guaranteed, are they? Come on. There's no guarantee. So when the veil is removed, we have an opportunity to see the Lord. You can either go into glory or you can go into gloom. You choose. Did you hear what I just said? You can go into glory and get a vision of God. And my prayer today is that you go into that glory cloud, that you get into that place where the vision of God is larger. The vision of God for your life is larger. Physical things are just only temporary. Everything in this life is temporary. You remember the message I gave you a few weeks ago, some of you here, on eternal life, what it really meant. What really counts is something that's going to last forever. Yeah. So, okay, staying in a tent is temporary. Even going to a house is temporary. They're all physical realities, natural. they're all going to disappear. Something of eternity is where, you know, where God wants us to turn to. So anyways, this is just on that first verse. It says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw, my vision, the Lord. And it's interesting, he says, I saw the Lord seated on a throne. Come on. Hey, do you know what? You can give anything else a throne in your life. But man, when you get God back on the throne, things shift. Anything in this life that takes the place of kingship and lordship in your life has the possibility to suck life right out of you, because that could be that little prop that disappears and all of a sudden your life is shaken. But so Isaiah gets this thing, the prop, gone, and all of a sudden he's got a heavenly vision. But I'm so grateful his heavenly vision was up the Lord. And where's the Lord seated? On the throne. Come on, I want to encourage you today. I want to speak over your life that whatever's going on, you can choose to place God on the throne. Come on. Your house, your relationship, your finances, your difficulties, circumstances are not the Lord over your life. Give Jesus that place. When he's on the throne, who is he? He is sovereign. He's over all. And oftentimes, you know what happens? It's unfortunate, but it's the truth. We don't think we're kind of in this place. We think because of our spirituality. You know, we all have a weird view about our spirituality. I think we all think we're more spiritual than we really are. Seriously. We all think we're better off, we're in a better relationship with God than we really are. I'm going to give you a couple examples of this. There's a guy in the Bible called Job. I remember Job. Was Job, let me ask you this. First of all, when you begin the story of Job in the Bible, you find that God was pleased with Job. And even there was a conversation between God and Satan, and God said, do you see my servant Job? How, you know, he's a good man, right? He's a righteous man. So it wasn't like, but Job's evaluation of himself was even higher. There was a place where Job needed to be brought into a humility. There's a place in which you and I need to recognize where God is and where we are in relationship to him. We need to recognize who God is and who we are. So if you know the story of Job, it's quite interesting. He ends up, you know, there's a, you know, the Satan or devil basically has a kind of a free course hand on Job's life with limitations. Couldn't kill him, but there were certain things. So he ended up losing his family. Come on. He lost it. Hey, what's interesting is I believe he had a high value, and which we all should have on our family, but there was maybe a different place that God, he had given. I don't know. I'm not going to start looking into this from a judgment point of view, but I know one thing. Certain things were taken out from under him. Like, the rug got pulled out from under him. Right? He lost his family, lost his home. He got these boils on his body. It was not a very pleasant. It wasn't pleasant at all. And these people were there to comfort him and tell him, you know, you do this, you do that. You know, how many of you heard of Job's comforters? You know, they're giving them all the solutions, but they're kind of pulling them out of their back pocket rather than giving them from God. And now, sometimes, sadly, we do that. The Lord corrects these people, these guys. He actually says to many of those so-called Job's counselors or comforters, listen, you better get Job to pray for you, because you're the one that needs prayer, not him, in regard from you, because you're not giving him godly advice or counsel. Anyways, in that last part of this section, Job has this revelation. Actually, God has a revelation for Job. Oops. See if I can find it here. man, is that sometimes you just lose these things? But I did write it down. I thought I could put the verses. Okay, can you go to Job 40, verse 8? If you have it there, Job 40, verse 8. I want to bring this to a conclusion. Look, I'm telling you, this series of messages could be all on chapter 6 of Isaiah by the look of it. But I'm really hoping to deposit something to you today to encourage you, to bless you, and to challenge us. So I need to go to Job chapter 40 and verse 8. Sorry, Job 40, verse 8. And we're going to look at 40, verse 8 down to 14. So God starts by verse 7. Listen to verse 7. God says to Job, brace yourself like a man. I will question you. And you shall answer me. Job's asking all the questions, right? And God says this, would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Hey, do you have an arm like God's? Can you voice thunder like his? Then adorn yourself with glory and splendor and clothe yourself in honor and majesty? Come on. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at the proud man, bring him low. Look at every proud man and humble him, crush him, crush the wicked when they stand. And then I want to go to verse chapter 41, next chapter. And in verse 10 it says, and God continues to talk. All this is still God's talking about his ability, his might, his power. Verse 10 it says, no one is fierce enough to rouse him. This is, you know, a description. Who is able to stand against me? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. Who do you think you are, Noel? Who do you think you are? You give yourself your name that you can justify yourself before God. There's a verse in the Bible that says, what is man that you're mindful of him? When I realize that who I am, who God is, man, I got to shut up like a man and say, who you are, God. You're, and then eventually Job has this revelation. Go to chapter 42. In chapter 42, so when the Lord speaks, his voice gives you the true understanding of who you are. And this example of Job is amazing because when it happens, there is a repentance. There is a realization. You put God in the right place, you realize who you are. But man, I want to realize who he is because he's for me. He is with me. I'm not going with the arm of my strength and my ability. When I go into places of darkness, it is the light and the presence and the power of God, not wimpy old Noel. They're going to say, well, you're looking at yourself kind of wrongly. Well, I'm looking at the flesh part of Noel. I'm looking at the mighty power of God that's able. So listen to this. So Job finally realizes in Job 42 in verse 6. Chapter 42, verse 3. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand. He says, hey, finally I'm getting the clued in. I'm sorry, God. I spoke things I didn't understand. Things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. This Job talking to God. I will question you, and you shall answer me. That's what God did, right? So what does Job say? My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Whoa. My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Therefore, I recognize who you are and who I am. You're God and I'm not. I repent. The word is I repent in dust and ashes. I confess. There's a place. So Isaiah chapter 6, what happens? Isaiah gets a revelation of God. He goes into this place where he also realizes who he is and And God does an amazing thing of healing and wholeness in Isaiah. But I want to get to that next time, because I'm very mindful of your time and respectful. And I really felt the gist of what I needed to share this morning has been preached. I really felt in my spirit there are some of you here today needed to hear the first part of this message, main part of this message. Just allow God back on the throne of your life. And whatever circumstances or difficulties you're going through, let Him take over. Let Him be sovereign. Let Him be Lord. Let Him, you know, let Him flex His muscle. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't talk to God with your humanness. That doesn't mean you can't tell God how frustrated you are. Come on. That doesn't mean you can't be real. God wants you to be real. A true confession comes with the reality that this is it, God. I feel terrible. I'm going through a hard time. I'm going through a divorce or a separation. I'm going through losing my house. I'm going through, you know, could be some other crisis. I'm going through something real. Does God want to hear that? Yeah. Just read the Psalms. Complaints. But these are complaints that come to the right place. There's a department up there. Bring your complaints here. In heaven. All right? And this is a place where you can cry to God. You can open up to God. You can vent to God. But then expect God to show up. I want to say something which is going to be another message, but I want to tell you about this right now. Listen. In that place, you might realize who God is, and you might come to the realization who you are. As Isaiah realized, He's God. And he also realized, I'm a man of unclean lips. Right? But let me tell you, God brings you to light to expose darkness, not that you would be in doom, but that you could be delighted. God brings you into the place of light, which means a revelation, true revelation. God brings you that place so you wouldn't be condemned, but cleansed. He looks at it and he says, oh my dear, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm condemned. I'm guilty. And the Lord said, just reach the coal, take a coal from the altar, put it to your lips, and your lips are clean. Aren't you glad? God brings me to a realization of what I am without Him, which isn't very pretty. But He brings me to that revelation so I can be who He called me to be. Amen. And man, when it gets to the end of that story, it's like, yeah. So my prayer today is that God will, you know, whatever circumstances are going on, this is not a defeat for you. This is a place of another level for you. This is another revelation. My prayer is that you get another revelation of God like you've never had before. This is an opportunity for God to show up like He couldn't and wouldn't be able to show up until circumstances were so that you had to go to Him and say, yeah, I need You, Lord, like I never needed You before.